Well, hello, everyone. It's announcement time here at Keys Vineyard. Hey, coming up in a couple weeks here at the church is our next night watch. This is a night of ministry and prayer and worship, and we always have a great time. It's a really mellow night, and there's really just some great moments where the Holy Spirit can move, and we give him lots of room. So I'd highly encourage you to join us for that. That's going to be this April 24th at 6:30 p.m. Great night. Be there. We have a couple of great Bible studies here at the church. Our men's Bible study meets like every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. They meet in the Noah's Ark room. Great group of guys. They're a lot of fun. So yeah, if you're a guy looking for a Bible study, they meet every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. We also have a great women's group that meet here at the church Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. as well, in a different classroom. I believe they're still going strong, and yeah, great group of ladies. I'm going to say that about any group here at the church, but they're all really cool. So yeah, Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. here at the church, men's and women's Bible studies. Join those. We have a great app, the KVC Church app. You can get all of our information for things coming up. Next month, we'll have a family fun night. A little early to be announcing that, but I'm announcing it right now anyway. So yeah, go figure. That'll be next month. Hopefully, I'm able to go on the bounce houses here in a few weeks. And yeah, with all that being said, let's get ready for church. Woo!
Hey, everybody online. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. We're getting ready to hop in. We've had a great time of worship earlier this morning. Looking forward to spending this time with you. And we're continuing on in our Kingdom Covenant series. We're going to be talking today about Melchizedek and the royal priesthood. I think it's a lot of fun. So get your Bibles, maybe a coffee, get comfortable, get ready. Here we go. Woo!
That was perfectly timed. Very nice timing, Pastor Steve.
Finally.
Good morning, family. It is wonderful seeing your faces, hearing your voices, being in the room with you all. We're looking forward to spending time with you in worship and in the Word this morning. I'm going to tell you what we'll be attempting to do if all goes well. We're going to start things off with communion. Pastor Fran is going to lead us through that in just a moment. After communion, we'll have our time of worship, and then Pastor Georgina will come up and lead any kids who'd like to join her through a Bible verse. We'll dismiss them off to their Sunday school classrooms. And as a note, if you do have kids, please make sure you're signing them in on your way in. So we have moved one of our check-in stations to right at the end of the center aisle. So if you have kids, check them in, get their sticker on them. It really helps our staff out because Miss Cameron's running around trying to get all your kids. And she doesn't like interrupting you. So please do that. And then after the kids go off to Sunday school, we'll have our time in the Word with Pastor Steve as we continue on. Well, we're going to discuss Melchizedek today. And it's really good. We're digging into kind of obscure things that you might not know why it's there. But before we do any of that, let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? Lord, we are so thankful for your presence here this morning. And we are thankful that it's your desire to be near to us. We thank you for the great lengths you went to restore us to your family, for what you endured, so that we can be invited to your table as honored children of the King. So this morning, as we quiet our hearts and our minds, Lord, help us to see and hear and experience you in a new way. We ask that you continue to tune our heart to yours. Lord, we want our very lifeblood to beat in time with your heart. So we say yes. continue to draw us closer to you, Father. You're beyond good to us. And all we can say is thank you. And we join with all the churches around the world where your gospel is preached with this collect. Almighty God, you gave your only Son to be for us both a sacrifice for sin and an example of godly life. Give us grace so that we may always receive with thankfulness the immeasurable benefit of his sacrifice, and also to try daily to follow in the steps of his most holy life. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Pastor Fran.
On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat it in remembrance of me." St. Mary took the cup. It's the last night of the Passover celebration, cups of plagues and sanctification, and poured and celebrated. Jesus took the third cup, the cup of redemption. He said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Drink this in remembrance of me." There with his friends that night, Jesus gave us a lasting ordinance, remembrance that we call communion, the Lord's Supper. He said, "From now on, when you get together and partake in this meal, I want to remember me." So his friends gather this morning, we too can partake in this meal. The bread and the cup, the body of the Lord. We remember and give thanks. Remember all Jesus has said and done and promised to do. Remember his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf. I want to remember how he died and rose again. I want to remember with awe and thanksgiving that he's coming back soon. So on this table, the elements communion, the bread and the cup, the body of blood, the Lord. The table's open this morning to all who believe. It says, "We worship and you feel about the Spirit. Go eat, drink, remember, and give thanks." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Fran. We're going to start our time of worship now, and I'd like to encourage us all to sing out and to lift our voices and praise the Lord in this time of worship. It makes a big difference when we're all singing together. We're going to see the words on the screen, so sing along with those. You're welcome to sit, stand if you're able. He inhabits the praises of his people.
Your house, your place, our praise becomes your house, your place, our praise becomes your house, your place, our praise becomes your house, your place. Our praise becomes your house, your place. Our praise becomes
Close. First time I had hope.
in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's sing that again. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Worship in your presence. And Father, as we are here in your presence, I'd ask that you'd be with us as we prepare to study your word. Lord God, would you anoint the words that are spoken to us, that are taught to us? Use those words, God, to stir up our hearts towards you. And Holy Spirit, I'd ask that you'd be with those who are working with our precious children today. God, anoint them. Give them everything that they need to show all the kids your wonderful love for them, oh God. You are so good, Lord. We love you. And we thank you. And it's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. And Pastor Georgina, would you please come up and teach the children a Bible verse?
Good morning, everyone. So happy to see you. I have a couple questions, okay? Oh, no. Okay. A couple questions. Hello, sir. Okay. Do you guys like cats? Raise your hand if you like cats. Meow. Yeah. What about dogs? Dogs? Okay. What about giraffes? Okay. What about rhinoceros? And koala bears? Yeah. Cool. That's a lot of animals, right? Well, guess what? In today's Bible story, Peter had a vision, and a vision is like a dream, but you're awake. And he had a vision of all kinds of animals. And God used this story to teach Peter more than about animals, right? He was trying to teach him that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is for everyone. Are you ready to hear the amazing story? Yes? Good. Excuse me. Okay, so we find this man named Cornelius. Excuse me. And Cornelius, he is a Roman soldier. And Cornelius, he loved God. And he helped people. And he prayed to God. And one day, an angel appeared to Cornelius. The angel said, "Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Right? Send people to the city of Joppa to get Peter. He has a message for you," right? So what do you think Cornelius did? Did he obey? He did. He sent two of his servants and one officer, soldier with them, right? And as they were getting close to the house where Peter was, guess what Peter was doing? He decided to go to the roof of that house, and he decided to pray, and then an amazing thing happened. He had a vision, and this sheet, right, white sheet came down from heaven, and in the sheet were all kinds of animals, like snakes, like lizards, and like birds, right? And he heard a voice say, "Get up, Peter, and eat." And Peter was like, "Oh no, I can't eat that. I'm Jewish. We don't eat those kinds of birds or animals. They're considered unclean." And then he heard a voice say that God has made them clean, right? So as Peter is thinking about all this, right, he's thinking about this vision, the Spirit tells him that he needs to go downstairs because men have come for him and he needs to go with them. So Peter goes downstairs and talks to Cornelius's friends, right, the men that he sent, and they tell him, come with us to Cornelius' house, right? And Peter obeyed. And guess what happened? Meanwhile, Cornelius is so excited about this message, right, that he calls all his family, his cousins, his, you know, his aunts and uncles. He calls them all, and he calls all his close friends, right? And they're waiting for Peter at his house. And then when Peter sees Cornelius, he begins to speak. And we can read about that in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. It says, "Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, right, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Peter was telling them that everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven. And guess what? Everyone in the house believed in Jesus. Not only that, but Cornelius's family and his friends were baptized. Amazing, right? Yes, very good. And then, guys, we got to remember that God wants us to share the good news about Jesus with everyone, no matter who they are or what they do. Will you do that? Yes? Good job. All right. Awesome. Are you ready to repeat the Bible verse after me? Okay, with one voice. Acts 10, 34 and 35.
Acts 10, 34 and 35.
Good job. Peter began to speak.
Now I truly understand
that God doesn't show favoritism.
Wow, you guys are so good.
But in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Wow, so good, boys and girls.
Good job, kids. The children are receiving stickers because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then Pastor Georgina will pray for them and we'll dismiss them off to Children's Church.
Oh, there's a birthday.
Oh, yes, there is a birthday. Thank you for reminding me. It is Samantha's birthday right here. We're going to sing her happy birthday, okay? So everybody going to help me? Here we go. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Samantha. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Yay!
All right, happy birthday. All right, guys, so now we get to talk to the Lord. Are you ready? So let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes, okay? Ready? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your great care for us. Thank you for providing for us, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, for all the opportunities that you will give us to tell others the good news about Jesus. In his name we say,
amen.
Good job.
Thank you, Pastor Georgina.
Have fun. Learn well. Listen. Obey.
Enjoy the snacks.
Enjoy the snacks. Have a little nap. Whatever it takes. Welcome to the Vineyard. So glad to have you with us this morning. Welcome to those of you joining us online. Happy to be with you today on a lovely Sunday. Very cool to get together. Yeah. That QR code that just popped up, if you pointed your smart device at it with a camera on, you'll get a link to a page on our website that has useful links or service links. There's the fill-in notes are there if you want to follow along, and then you can email them to yourself. The listening assistance is there. The translation system is there. The 9:30 and 11, we translate into 30 different languages. So fascinating the way all that works. And that's there for you if you would like to have that. And there's some other cool stuff there, so check it out. If you don't have the app, download it on your phone. You should do that as well, because that's an important thing. Mm-hmm. Cool. When we gather together, we pray for our neighbors. We do that to reinforce something we ask you to do on a daily basis. Pray for the people that live around you. Makes a huge difference. So think about a couple of your neighbors. Let's go to the Lord. Papa, we lift up our neighbors to you. We ask God that you would move in their lives in mighty, mighty ways. Draw those who don't know you into relationship with you. Help us, God, to be good neighbors, to love our neighbors well. Bring renewal, revival, and breakthrough to this area, that hundreds and thousands of people will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job. Keep it up. Very important ministry. Just praying for those people that live around you. We're continuing on a series we just started. This is called Kingdom Covenant. And in this series, we're going to work through from Genesis 12 through Genesis 50. I think it'll take us 10 or 12 weeks. Maybe I can do it in a little less.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too. But this is a series that we're doing. And we did, the first one was Kingdom Revealed, Genesis 1 and 2. That took 10 weeks, just two chapters. So then we did Genesis 3 through 11 in Kingdom Rebellion.
Right.
And that took 10 weeks, but that was eight chapters. Mm. So now that's a bigger chunk, but we'll keep it going. But what we want to do is we're taking time to work through the scripture. When the connections that are happening and how amazing the Bible is, this God-given piece of divinely inspired literature, when the connections begin to be evident to you as you press in, it just changes the way that you look at the book. And that's our whole hope as we dig through and look at patterns and things that are going on. And we started last week talking about the covenant that God makes with Abram, and how God's going to bless Abram, and through Abram, all nations will be blessed. And I also talked, if you remember, about what a blessing is, because if we go around and ask, what do you think a blessing is, there'd be lots of different definitions. My thinking would be, and what I encourage you to think of as we go through this, is that a blessing is when you experience heaven on earth. That's a blessing. It's that heaven and earth connection that we talk about. It's the breakthrough of the kingdom from the not yet into the now. That's a blessing. And I think that really helps with understanding what we're talking about. So we're going to talk today about Melchizedek, which is a fascinating guy, and the royal priesthood.
Right. Not to be confused with Methuselah.
Yes. No.
Who you've been. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no. Methuselah was really old.
Yeah. And Melchizedek.
He's in the vineyard.
Is maybe old, we don't know, because we don't know when he started and when he ended.
Right.
It's that way on purpose in the scripture, which is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's older, maybe,
could be,
than Methuselah.
Or not. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We know how old Methuselah was.
Yeah, how old?
900 and...
Wow.
935, maybe? I'd have to go look it up.
He must have been tired at the end.
Yeah, you think so. Although they lived, a lot of them lived a long time, so it must have been okay.
Yeah.
Wait, whew.
I don't know.
I can't imagine what this body would be like at 900.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I'm just coming up on 64, and every day it's like, stay in bed! Don't get up! You'll hurt yourself.
Yeah. Well, how'd you get the limp? I don't know.
I just woke up with it.
Yep. Okay. Bad jokes here. We got to do through them. It's pretty obvious that if you run in front of a car, you'll get tired. But if you run behind a car, you'll get exhausted.
True. But if you run in front of a car, you'd get hit.
You could, but you got to run fast. Okay. That's why you would get tired.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day, my teachers used to tell me I'd never amount to much because I procrastinated so much. And I told them, just you wait.
Just you wait.
Just you wait. So this is, somebody sent me this. The other day, I yelled into a colander. I strained my voice. Please.
That's as good
pray
as it
for
gets.
Us and lead us in the reading of the word.
I'm going to try. Let's shift a little bit and pray, and then we'll read the word together, okay? Father, we are so grateful for the precious presence of Jesus with us this morning and the way your Holy Spirit ministers to our hearts. Lord, we do want to stand in the light of your glory. We want to bask in that glorious light. But Lord, we also want to be cooled by the shadow of your wings. And so, Papa, we lift up every situation in this room, all of which you are acutely aware of. And we ask that you would bless it, that your hand would be upon these families, Papa, the ones present and the ones not. And we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be so kind to stand with me, please, as we read the word together? We stand to honor the word, in case you're wondering why we do that. And the text today is out of Genesis, chapter 14, beginning at verse, chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Blessed be the word of the Lord. You guys can be seated.
That's the most awkward sip of coffee I have all week. Hundreds of people staring at me. All right. So glad you're here today. Before I jump in, listen, someone just got a lot of heaviness on them right now. And I can feel it's palpable. And I just feel like the Lord wants to lift it off of you. It's like a... You came even though you didn't want to come today, and I just feel like the Lord would say, be free right now. Yes. I've got you. You're mine. I love you. I'm for you. I'm with you. And God, just break that heaviness right now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. So we're pressing in to this idea today about Melchizedek and who he is. So let's introduce him. Last week, if you were here, if not, you might want to go back because I'm not going to do a whole overview, but there was a big battle as we met Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham was in the high place and there was craziness all around him as the four kings came and battled the five kings. So it was a big nine king battle and the four kings defeated the five kings and they took all their stuff and all their people. And in that, they had captured Lot, Abram's nephew, and his all of his people, and so that was a big problem. And God is with Abram. Abram's in the high place, and we talked about how important it is to hang out in the high place. He's with his buddies up there, and then God sends him because he's ready to go with his 318 warriors. They go and they whip up on the four kings, and they get all of the stuff back. And they're coming back with all of these things when they passed Shalem, however you want to say that. It's written different ways. And there they meet Melchizedek. And you might just skip this if you don't know to look deeper into what's going on. But Melchizedek is a royal priest. And so we need to be aware of that because it's an important concept throughout the Bible from the very beginning to the very end. And we're going to tie all that together as we look through this. So, as I said, Abram is returning from this victorious battle that he's been in, and he passes by Salem, and the king of Salem, and he was not involved in the battles. This is probably significant because he's the 10th king, but it's 5 and 4, and he didn't participate. But he comes out as Abram is going by, to greet him. And this king, of Salem is also a priest of the same God that Abram serves, which is fascinating because we don't have any backstory to Melchizedek, which we find out is on purpose, but there's no backstory, but he loves God and he's a priest of the Most High God and he's a king of Salem. Let me read some of this again. Genesis 4:18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. So he goes to meet Abram and Abram's people and everybody else with a feast is what's going on. Also, when you read bread and wine, you should maybe make some other connections. Like, can you think of another high priest and, who makes a big deal about bread and wine and there's a big table over there and connections, nothing is by, anyway, the picture is that Abram's group would, it's a big journey. There was, battle didn't happen like he just went, it was some traveling going on. They would have been hungry. And the king of Salem, Melchizedek, the priest as well, he comes out with this feast for them. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, because he's a priest, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And so remember the whole thing with Abram now was he was going to be a blessing. God was going to bless him so that through him he could bless the nations. And now he runs across this priest who comes out to meet him. And it's God's way of blessing Abram. And he receives that blessing. And praise be to God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand. And then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And so God blesses Abram. And what happens is Abram passes that blessing along. And that's a big deal because that's how things move and they're supposed to move. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing. And this king priest came out and he blessed Abram. Now, as I said, we don't know why this king priest, Melchizedek, why he knows Abraham's God, but he certainly does. He's not an Israelite. We're not told any of his family lineage. And so we don't hear much, don't know much about him as he comes. He doesn't really pop again in scripture until the Psalms, and we'll look at that, and then in the book of Hebrews. But he plays a vital role of this idea of a royal priesthood. Also fascinating is that he rules in Salem, Shalem, and we find out later on that that's actually Jerusalem. Is where he's at. Psalm 76, God is renowned in Judah. In Israel, his name is great. His tent is in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. That connects it. So where all this happens with Melchizedek is on a mountain there in Jerusalem. That's where the temple's going to be built eventually when David comes along. It's also the spot where we're going to find out when we move along in a few more weeks where Abram takes Isaac for the sacrifice. All this is happening at the same place. Again, none of this is coincidence. It's moving us forward in the story. And so Melchizedek comes out. He has a feast and a blessing, which is very cool. And he, you know, Abraham responds to it by blessing Melchizedek, by giving him a tenth of everything. It's also fascinating as you read the story because when the king of Salem comes out, Melchizedek, he just comes with a blessing and an offering to be and take care of Abram, you know, to give a blessing, and he receives a blessing. The king of Sodom, it says, comes out as well, and he's got the whole opposite thing going on. He comes seeing what he can get out of the deal. And he kind of does it in because he says to Abram, well, you can keep what you got that was mine. And Abram says, no way am I going to keep what was yours. I'm going to give it all to you back because I don't want you to be able to say that somehow the blessing came from you. It came from God. And so he gives back to the king of Sodom all that was his other than this tent that went to Melchizedek. And sometimes I think that's an important part of the story about how we live. And what Melchizedek demonstrates is that a royal priest, it's about blessing. It's about letting the blessing of God flow through you and then watching as God does what he's going to do in our lives. So Melchizedek is the first explicit example of a royal priest. Now, if you think back in our series and you go back into Genesis 1 and 2, this royal priesthood was something we talked about. Because when God creates Adam and Eve, the humanity, he does so in his image. And there's a couple of things that go with that. He created us as co-rulers. He wanted to co-rule with us on the planet. So that's part of the royalty. We would have been with him as, you know, part of the royal family. And also to image him on the planet. We were to image God to the world, if you would, and then reflect the praises of God back to him. So we would have been operating as royal priests back then. We lost that at the fall. And here's the first part in the story where we see it restored again. But this time in Melchizedek, we don't know that much about him, but it's there. Now, as you we read through, you'll see some other examples of this, but the best, perhaps next best known one is King David. Most of you have heard of King David, and he's a type of royal priest. In Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, we'll see that Israel has a priesthood that God introduces to them, and they're supposed to be sort of in charge of the people for God. They're to represent God, they're to and serve God and serve people. And yet the priesthood that starts with Aaron and the Levites starts bad and gets worse because they don't get that it's that everything's supposed to flow through them. They make it about themselves. I just say that because I think, I can't speak for you, that's kind of one of our natural tendencies is we have a habit of making it all about us. We just do, I think. Maybe not you. So if it's not you, come and see me later. And I'll tell you why I know it's not you. Anyway, that's another story. But we need to be careful of that because that makes a big difference, is that we're not the center of the story. I tell you that all the time. Jesus is the center, and we find life as we understand he's the center and we're working with him and around him. All right. So the priesthood starts bad there in the Old Testament, gets worse. And so since they're not doing what the people would like for them to be doing, they ask for a king. In the story, and they're granted a king. Saul starts the whole process. He's not a very good king at all. He's got some issues, not like all of us. And then we get to David. And David is mostly a good king. Not perfect. We don't have that situation. He's got some issues in his life, but he repents well, and he loves God. He really does do his best to serve people. So what we see with David is, so not only is he a king, he begins to act in a very priestly way in a lot of things. He gets to Jerusalem and he makes that the center of everything for Israel. So we're back at that mountain. He brings the ark there. He has the ark brought into a tent that he's made that represents the presence of God. That comes in Jerusalem. And then, you know, in 2 Samuel 6, 17, it says they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in his place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. That's what priests do, okay? And after he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people. That's what priests do. In the name of the Lord Almighty. And then he gave a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. You see, it's very similar to what Melchizedek did. Came out, blessed, and then had a feast, and blessed the people as they went. And so there's a connection there with what's going on. And it's David then in the Psalms who brings this connection to us again with Melchizedek and the royal priesthood. In Psalm 110, he says this, "The Lord says to my Lord..." If that's ever been confusing, David is promised in 2 Samuel 7 that his offspring will be on a forever throne. And we know that to be Jesus. And David knew that God was up to something with that whole process. So he brings that up. "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies." This is the idea of Jesus as king. "And your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And so we have this king, and this twist is that this king will also be a priest that's coming, which is very helpful in understanding when Jesus comes. When he comes the first time, he comes in that priestly function, And he's going to willingly go to the cross, shed his blood there, and die there in order to defeat the power of sin. And then he's going to be resurrected there and defeat the power of death. And that's what he does on the first time. Now, when he comes back, the next time, he comes as that warrior king, if you would. The Lord is at your right hand. He'll crush kings on the day of his wrath. When Jesus comes back, he's going to set everything right. And yet it had to happen the way it did. So we see him operating as this royal priest, but you see it sort of really taking place in that he came that first time. That was a priestly role in order to set things for us back in a way that we could be reconciled to God. And then he's coming again at the time of his choosing, when the Lord sends him back, and to make everything right. And we look forward to that. And we live in this tension. We talk about that all the time. So David talks about this royal priesthood. And again, it makes this connection to Melchizedek. And all of that points to Jesus as our royal priest. This is a big deal, as I was just describing all that he does. And this idea of Melchizedek is picked up by the writer of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And so let's look at it here, Hebrews 5, verse 5. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son, today I become your father." This is all that offspring connection. And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Tying Jesus to Melchizedek, Hebrews 9, the writer goes on in verse 11, "But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with humans' hands, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." So Jesus comes as this royal priest, and what he does there on the cross is enough to take care of redemption for everyone who trusts and believes in him. He shed his perfect blood so that we could be set free and delivered. A lot of our songs today were about the blood of Jesus. I liked it, but it's all in here. But sometimes I wonder when we're singing those songs, if people are just visiting, they're like, that's all they talk about. It's not, but it is very important. Anyway, because of what happens here. So Jesus sheds his blood so that we can have life in him. And all these connections now are about the importance of a royal priest. All right, so what does that mean for us today? Why have I been spending this time talking about Melchizedek? What does it mean for you? And here's what it means, is that we're, in Jesus, a royal priesthood. This is what we were created to be back in Genesis 1 and 2. And in Jesus now, it happens once again. So Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 2. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him." We're talking about Jesus. "You also," now we're talking about us, "like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. To those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you..." As I say this, I really want you to take this in, because if you, and when you know Jesus, this is right at your heart, and you should let it sink in. You are a chosen people. People go, "Well, no, I chose Jesus." You do choose Jesus, but because he chooses you. You're a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. That's what we're talking about. A holy nation. Listen to this. God's special possession. See, there's something about taking that in that begins to change the way that we live in the world around us. And it's hard for us sometimes to take that stuff in. We think, "No, you don't know what a mess I am. You don't know what I've done, what I'm, you know." And yet, I need to say it again. God loves you. Amen. And that all these people that we're reading about, they all make mistakes. Abram, Sarah, they fail, they don't do what they're supposed to do, and yet God continues to love them and to work through them and to use them and fulfill what he says, that he's going to bless people through them, and that's what God's going to do with you. Amen. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It's such a powerful picture of who we are in Christ. We're the royal priesthood. Now look, we often talk about what's coming, and I want to tie that in too, because it's significant. You see how the beginning of the book ties in with the end. We bring that up all the time. But in Revelation, this idea of a royal priesthood is brought up several times. I'm just going to give you one verse, Revelation 5, 9 and 10. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals," that's Jesus, "because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." There's the idea of royal priesthood again. Now, let's pop to the last chapter in the book, Revelation 22. And this is a picture again of so amazing. The angel showed me the river of the water of life. Remember Genesis 1 and 2 in the garden. There was a river, right? As clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life. Huh. Saw that when we started. Bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. They'll not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And what's happening in the story, as John is tying this all together, is that the Bible is going to end where it begins, in a garden with the great cosmic priest Jesus and all of us working together with him as the human royal priesthood that he's always wanted from the beginning. Remember that God is faithful, and he's going to do what he said he was going to do, and he's been doing it all along and making it possible. Even though we said no and took the wrong tree and lost the idea of the royal priesthood, we see it happening again in Melchizedek, preserved for us, moving to David, moving to Jesus, then it's back to us, because that's what it was all about. Now, we're to live as new creation people now. See, I tell you how it's going to be completely happened at the end, but you need to know, because of what Jesus has done, your eternity has already begun, your eternal life. And so you already are to be operating as part of the royal priesthood. Now, because as God blesses us, what we do is we're to bless others, because that's what the world needs. And it doesn't stop with us, because it's not all about us, but the blessing comes to us, and then we keep giving it away. And God keeps giving it back. And we keep giving it away. And as you give that blessing away, that heaven and earth connection, more and more people come to know Jesus, and they can begin to experience life and get healed and whole and you know, set free from all the things that are going on around us. And it doesn't mean that we get all proud and arrogant, which can sometimes happen if we make it about us, but we're to take our cue from Jesus, who was the humble king. Remember just Palm Sunday, Douglas talked about how when Jesus came in, not on that white horse he's coming back on, but he came in on a donkey in a very humble way. And he kept telling his guys, don't mess this up. This is about serving. It's not about ruling. It's about serving. Jesus said, I didn't come to rule. I came to serve. And that's what we do. We understand that being connected with God and having Holy Spirit in us and all that is so that we can hang out with God in the high place, and then we can go into the world as he sends us and be a blessing into the world around us. See, the royal priesthood, I love it. It's about serving God and serving others. It's about blessing God and blessing others. And then lastly, big connection, it's about loving God and loving others. That's why Jesus said that was the most important thing. Get that figured out and you got it. And you begin to experience life in a different way when you realize that God's got you and he's for you and he's, you know, we get all caught up in trying to make things work in our own strength all the time. And life is miserable there because we're not very good at it. But if we can finally say, God, it's yours, take it. God is so good at it. And then he allows us to be a blessing into the world around us. So that's the idea of the royal priesthood. That's why it's so important. And I wanted you to be able to connect with that as we press on. Next week, we'll be back in Genesis 15 through 17, more on the Abraham and Sarah story. And you know what they're going to do next time we get back? Fail miserably. Just miserably. But I wanted to end on a high note. God works with us in our failures. Don't forget that. There's people here who really need to hear that. God works with you in your failures. And he can use them for his glory and for your benefit as well. Don't let go of that. That's really important. Ministry team, those are here. Why don't you head over to the wall? People on the way over there are here to pray for you. And if you need prayer for anything, take a moment and let somebody pray for you. And let me say this, that this journey with God starts by knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. In the message, I talked about what he's done. He went to the cross willingly, defeated the power of sin and the power of death, and then he invites you to join him in his story. And we do that by saying, yes, Jesus, will you be my Lord and my Savior? That's the beginning. If you've never done that, do it right now. Jesus, will you be my Lord and my Savior? Absolutely the best decision you will ever make.
Amen. So bless, serve, love, fail.
Well, you're gonna, but don't make that like on the list.
Right, cool.
Just understand
Got
that
it
happens
Got it.
As you continue to try to
Absolutely.
Do the other stuff.
I always learn more in my failures.
Absolutely.
Every time. I hate that. But it's true. You do learn more in your saviors, in your failures. Let's go back to the word Steve had at the beginning of the message. If you feel heaviness or you didn't want to come and you came and you feel the Lord working on you, maybe your heart's beating fast or maybe you feel teary, let one of our prayer team members pray for you today. Or if there's anything else you need prayer for, I know they'd be happy to do that. Amen?
Cool. Thank you. You didn't ask me to dance like David.
I have never asked you to dance like David.
I don't know why.
Pray for me. Okay. Go.
Thank you, church, for being generous. And we love partnering with you. We get to do so many cool things all over. Thank you for being faithful to giving, offering, tithing. There's ways to do that on the screen there. Let's sing doxology, and we will dismiss. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. May the Lord bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and give you peace. Go today in the peace, the power, and the love of God. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. We'll see you soon. Prayer's over there if you need it. Please go and get some prayer. This door will be open for you. Head out that way. Get out there. Have some fun. Catch some fish. Hope your team wins. Bye. Have a great day, everybody. Next week, we'll be in Genesis 15 through 17. But for this week, hang out. The royal priesthood, you're a part. How cool is that?
I hope wherever you're watching from, it's a beautiful day. And Stevie, you want to add anything?
No.
No. Okay, you're good. Bye.
Bye.